All right, I'll say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Dalet 34. Our shiur today is sponsored by Rabbi Shmuel and Devorah Miller in honor of the upcoming marriage later today, B'sha Tova Maslachas, of their children, Hillel Shalom Miller to Yehudis Blimen, with heartfelt appreciation to the entire daf chevra and a refuah shalema min hashamayim to Chaim Yaakov David ben Avigail, bless you, Rafael Daniel Mordechai ben Shifra Chaya, and to all the Chai Lifeline children. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah of Kol Chole Yisrael, we'll have a refuah shalema on the chasin and kalusha, beautiful mazel, bracha, and hatzlocha ad mea ve'esim shana. All right, Tavosai, let's begin. So today's, like I said, today's daf is Lamed Dalet 34. We're picking up 33B, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, last class. Tavosai, we're going to get a little bit back to halacha now. For just, it's been a wonderful, wonderful couple of days with all of this beautiful, mamish, beautiful Gemara. So says the Gemara the following, but still, this is actually incredible halacha lamaisa as well. So remember, the Mishnah said, Kol mitzvah sase shazman grama noshim pituros. And the Mishnah said, women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvos. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, Ezohi mitzvahs ase shazman grama. So asks the Gemara, what's an example of time-bound commandments from which women are exempt? So the Gemara says, Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar, Vitzitzis. So for example, again, the Gemara says, okay, all pretty much self-explanatory, all time-bound mitzvos, top of Lamed Dalet, Utfilin. Tefillin is also an example of mitzvah shazman grama. So Rashi just points out here, this is interesting. We saw this discussion actually in Masechet Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "V'kasavra laila lav zman tefillin, inami Shabbos v'yamtiv lav zman tefillin, hilchach kevan de'ika shaita d'lamechayi bazman grama." So just you should know, so keep in mind, here's interesting. Everyone agrees that tefillin is a mitzvah ase shazman grama. Everyone agrees that tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah. The machlokis is just what? What makes it a time-bound mitzvah? So some say there's no mitzvah of tefillin at night. Others say, no, there's a mitzvah of tefillin at night, but there's no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So either way, for our purposes today, it is time-bound because there is a point in time where you are not chayiv in tefillin. Therefore, because of that, a woman is exempt from tefillin. So these are all examples of mitzvos asei shazman grama. Ve'ezohi mitzvahs asei shalo azman grama. And what's an example of a non-time-bound mitzvah? So the Gemara gives mezuzah, ma'akeh. Ma'akeh, remember again, means placing a fence around your roof. Remember, I was like, Torah says, v'asisa ma'akeh l'gagecha. Because remember, especially in biblical times, just past biblical times, Mishnah, Gemara, so people often used to have flat roofs. Because remember, the roof was another place that was used for activities of daily living. So the halacha is, you have to place a ma'akeh. You have to place a fence around your roof. Shiluach hakan. It's interesting. Sending away the mother bird. So we'll say, so these are all, now this list is by no means exhaustive, but this is the idea over here. This is a sampling of mitzvos asei shaloh hazman grama. Non-time-bound mitzvos. So the Gemara says, uklaluhu. Now, is this true that this is a general principle? Now, meaning, the Mishnah makes it sound like women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvos. So asks the Gemara, is that true? Meaning, we'll say, if that principle is true, then what? Then you should not be able to find a time-bound mitzvah which a woman will be chayev sin. So is that true? What about, and this is actually interesting because it's halacha lemaisa, hari matzah. Oh, what about the mitzvah of matzah? Well, let's say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's such an amazing Gemara. Farachilas matzah, leil rishon shuchova. Remember, there is an obligation to eat matzah the first night, and women share that obligation as well. Kidichsiv, ba'erev tochlu matzos, uzman garam la betesva benisan, v'nashim chayavos. So remember, this is a mitzvah that says man garam. It's time bound mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night. Yet, what? We'll say, lamed dalet amud alef, 34a, three lines down. We're now in Rashi, Vare Achilas Matzah. But yet, women, so this is a time bound mitzvah, yet women are obligated. Kedara Psachim, Nashim Chayavos Bachilas Matzah, Dvar Torah, Shine Emar, Lo Sochal Alav Chametz, Shivas Yamin Tochal Alav Matzah. So, this is very important. The Pasuk says, for 7 days you shall not eat Chametz, you shall eat Matzah. So, the Gemara Darshan, you remember this from our Psachim days, the Gemara Darshan's, Kol Shi Yeshno Bal Tochal Chametz, Yeshno Bekom Echo Matzah, Vinashim Isnu Bal Tochal Chametz, the Mitzvah Losas. So we're supposed to listen to this. So the Gemara says, since the Torah links Achilas Matzah, or I should say the prohibition of Chametz with the obligation to eat Matzah, so we darshan what? whoever is obligated to abstain or to refrain from eating chametz is obligated to eat matzah. Therefore, because women are chayavos in refraining from chametz, also how do we know that? Because remember, the exemption for time-bound commandments only applies to what? Positive commandments. Mitzvot saseh does not apply to mitzvot lo saseh. Women are chayavos in all mitzvot lo saseh, all prohibitions. Therefore, whoever is subject to the prohibition of chametz is obligated in matzah. So here you see an example of a woman being obligated in a time-bound mitzvah. Or furthermore, the Gemara goes on, simcha. Both said the mitzvah of simcha is the mitzvah to rejoice on Yom Tov. Women are obligated in that mitzvah as well. Hakel. So Hakel is another one. We'll say Hakel, remember, in the Sukkis after the Shemitah year, which would have been this past Sukkis. Sukkis after Shemitah year, there's a mitzvah for everyone to go ahead and assemble in Yerushalayim in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. This is on Chol HaMoed, the first night of Chol HaMoed of the Sukkis after, we'll call it year 8, Sukkis after the Shemitah year. Everyone is obligated, including women, to go ahead and attend Hakel. The mitzvot sasei shazman grama v'nashim chayavos. So we'll say, so these are all examples of time-bound mitzvos, and yet women are still obligated. So what the Gemara is just pointing out is, the Mishnah makes it sound like, kol mitzvot sasei shazman grama v'nashim chayavos, that every single time-bound mitzvah, woman is exempt from. And the Gemara is just pointing out is, it appears to be that is not a true statement. There may be many mitzvot sasei shazman grama that woman is exempt from, but not all. Visu, furthermore, hari talmud Torah peri v'rivya pidyon aben, the lav mitzvos asei shazman gramu. But I will say, and it'll give you other examples. What about learning Torah? What about learning Torah? Peri v'rivya, procreation, pidyon aben, redeeming the firstborn, which I will say the Gemara says are not considered to be mitzvos asei shazman gramu. They are not time-bound mitzvos. Meaning they are not mitzvos that are limited to a particular time. Remember, even though pidyon aben, you can't do it before 30 days, but once 30 days comes about, you could do it any time. So these are all examples of non-time-bound mitzvos. Yet what? V'nashim p'turos. Yet women are exempt. I will say, take a look at Rashi. Peri v'rivya. So Rashi says over here, Amrina b'yevamis, ha'ish mitzvah peri v'rivya, avaloa isha. A man is obligated, has a mitzvah to have children, but a woman is not obligated. V'yalifla min v'kiv shuha. Ish darko lichbosh ve'in darko shel isha lichbosh v'chol dolo karinan be v'kiv shuha lo karin v'peruvu. So we'll actually see this. This sugya is going to be a little bit more discussed on the top of Lamed Hey. But suffice it to say for our purposes now that a man has a mitzvah peri v'rivya, a woman does not have the obligation. Talmud Torah, remember we learned before, Rashi says, Darmina le'al nosh shepeturos v'chein pidyon aben k'dila pirgis. Remember, we already learned the exemption for pidyon aben, as well as for Talmud Torah earlier on. So the point the Gemara is giving is, here are examples of mitzvos asei shelo hazman grama, non-time-bound mitzvos, and yet what? Women are exempt. So you hear what the Gemara is asking. On one hand, I can bring you examples of mitzvos asei shazman grama that women are obligated in. I could also bring you examples of mitzvos asei shelo hazman grama that women are exempt from. So when you put this all together, it leaves us wondering, so what exactly is the principle stated in the Mishnah? The principle does not seem to be absolute. To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan in lemeidim naklalos. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right, in general, even when Mishnayis seem to make a general klal, a general rule, understand that the rule is not necessarily absolute. The rule does not necessarily become all-encompassing. So the Gemara says, Va'afilu b'makom she'ne'emar bo chutz. And even in a situation where the Mishnah uses the word chutz, so sometimes the Mishnah will say a rule, and the Mishnah will say chutz, except for, the rule applies except for. So I would have thought that when a Mishnah says the rule applies except for, that misstatement of the Mishnah is absolute, because here the Mishnah is stating the statement, as well as all of the exceptions. Kamashon, the Gemara says that that's not the case, that Halach Lamayis says sometimes a Mishnah will say a rule, it'll even say chutz, but it doesn't mean that the rule or that the statement is all-encompassing. So therefore, essentially what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, as much as it sounds like the Mishnah was saying that women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvos, all essentially means what? All means what? Most. You can even say most. Most time-bound mitzvos, but all does not mean all. The Gemara gives an example of this. This nan, bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatin, chutz min avayim ha'melach. So we learned this in Erevin. You can make an Erev Chatzeros, or a shetufei muvos. Remember, Erev Chatzeros is the mechanism by which you combine the domiciles in a particular chatzer, or shetufei muvos is the same idea, but ultimately in a mavoi, in an alleyway, instead of just the chatzer. So you remember, this requires food. Everybody pools food together and creates essentially rishus hayachid. So you could use whatever food you want for the Erev Chatzeros or shetufei muvos, chutz min hamayim u'melach, except for water and salt. Because water and salt are not considered to be food. So the Gemara says, v'sulaka, and how is that true? I mean, you could use everything else. So the Gemara says, v'ha'ika kimino pitrios, but you can't use mushrooms or truffles. So the point the Gemara is making over here is what? Is that even when you see the Mishnah make a statement, an absolute statement like all, you can use everything except, even everything except, is not an all-inclusive statement, number one. And the exceptions, there may still be additional exceptions as well. Ella, ein lemeidim in aklalas v'afilu b'makum shenem arbochus. Therefore, I will say, the Gemara tells me, is that the Mishnah is teaching me, is that you can't learn out, even when the Mishnah says general principles may not be as general as at first they appear to be. And even when the Mishnah quotes exceptions to the rule, there may be additional exceptions than those quoted in the Mishnah. Therefore, again, bringing this all the way back, when the Mishnah says that women are exempt from all mitzvah seishazman grama, from all time-bound commandments, understand that statement is not all-encompassing. Meaning what it really means is women are exempt from most time-bound commandments, but there are certain time-bound commandments from which a woman will be obligated in, just like there are some non-time-bound commandments which a woman will be exempted from. Says the Gemara, mitzvahs asei shazman grama nashim beturos. So where do we know this from? So we'll say, remember, the Mishnah spells the principle that women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvos. So from where do we learn out this idea that women are exempt? Minavan, from where do we know this? Says the Gemara, gomer mitfilin. We learn it out from tefillin. Ma tefillin noshim peturos, af kol mitzvas asei shazman grama noshim peturos. Well, say just like women are exempt from tefillin, and tefillin is a time-bound commandment, so we use this, what's called the binyan af. We use this to create a paradigm. So tefillin are exempt from all time-bound commandments. Skimar says, utfillin, of course, the question now becomes, well, how do I know that women are exempt from tefillin? Meaning, where do I know that from? Utfillin, gamar lot mi tamu Torah. And we learn out tefillin from Talmud Torah. How so? Ma Talmud Torah Nashim Peturos, Af Tefillin Nashim Peturos. So we'll say, what we're picking up over here is that in Kriya Shema, so the mitzvah of Tefillin is juxtaposed to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And just like by Talmud Torah, we already established that a woman is exempt. How do we know that? V'limaratem osam es b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem, the Gemara Darshan. Remember, so a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah. There's a juxtaposition between Talmud Torah and Tefillin to teach us that women are exempt from Tefillin. Now, both say, now I have to understand, what the Gemara is essentially doing is the following. When the Torah exempts, women from Tefillin, why Tefillin? Why tefillin? Meaning, what we're looking to do is we're looking to isolate a characteristic in tefillin in order to go and create a principle. So what's unique about tefillin? Oh, tefillin is a time-bound commandment. Therefore, again, what the Gemara is saying is, we learn from tefillin that just like a woman is exempt from tefillin because of its juxtaposition to Talmud Torah, so what the principle in tefillin is mitzvah shazman grama, therefore woman is exempt from all mitzvos asei shazman grama.
Why they're exempt? They're exempt because it's linked to Talmud Torah. So why, where does a time-bound thing?
Because what's unique about tefillin? Why tefillin?
It's linked to.
But why? What's the proof? What's
anything else in the Shema that would be? Linked?
Oh. Let's go. V'nakish tefillin l'mezuzah. So good. Parsha Kivanta. So the Gemara said, well, I don't understand. There's another mitzvah quoted in Kriya Shema, which is the mitzvah mezuzah. That also, I remember again, see, this is really riveting. Because now what you have over here is, you have essentially tefillin sandwiched between two mitzvos. It's linked to Talmud Torah, juxtaposed Talmud, but it's also linked to mezuzah. Now remember, mezuzah was one of the examples of what? Mitzvos asei shelo azman grama. It's not time bound, which woman is obligated in mezuzah also. So why don't you say that tefillin should be linked to mezuzah and say that a woman should be obligated in? Remember, I'll say, we're looking, no, you'll look in Kriya Shema, you'll notice the juxtaposition over here between all of these mitzvos. So the Gemara says, v'nakish tefillin l'mezuzah, so through which the Gemara says, tefillin l'tamu Torah iskish bein parsha rishona bein parsha shnia. Oh, see, here's the difference. See, we'll say, if you take a look in v'ahafta and v'hayayim shamoa, So tefillin, Talmud Torah, iskish bein parsha rishona bein parsha shnia. Tefillin is juxtaposed to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, both in the first paragraph of Shema and in the second paragraph of Shema. However, Tefillin l'mezuzah b'parsha shniya lo iskish. Both say, if you look in Vayayim Shamoa, Tefillin is not juxtaposed to mezuzah in the second paragraph. Instead, Talmud Torah comes there in the middle. So therefore, the Gemara's dashing over here is the following. Tefillin is juxtaposed to Talmud Torah in paragraph number one, paragraph number two. Tefillin is only juxtaposed to mezuzah in paragraph number one, not paragraph number two. Therefore, again, it makes more sense to compare Tefillin to Talmud Torah than it does to mezuzah. So the drasha, therefore, will be, just as women are exempt from Talmud Torah, so too they'll be exempt from Tefillin. But again, what's driving the Gemara over here is, so what's the characteristic of Tefillin that a woman should be exempt? Meaning, why? Why should a woman be exempt from Tefillin? Elamai must be because there's a time component. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, you learn from here the binyan av, the principle, you create the paradigm, that therefore a woman is exempt from all time-bound commandments. So the Gemara says, v'nakish mezuz l'talmud Torah. So the Gemara says the following. So okay, so now you've told me why I can't compare Tefillin to mezuzah, but why don't I go ahead and compare mezuzah to Talmud Torah? Because I both said that juxtaposition does occur, and therefore I would say what? That just as a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, so too she should be exempt from mezuzah. This is actually very interesting. Lo sakadaitcha d'chsiv leman yirbu yimeichem. Because interestingly enough, by the pasuk of by mezuzah, the Torah says, right after mezuzah, it says, "Leman yirbu yimeichem," in order that you shall enjoy longevity of days. So you see over here that the mitzvah of mezuzah is linked to longevity. So says the Gemara, "Gavri boi chayi, nashi lo boi chayi." What? It's just men who need a long life, and women don't need a long life. So the Gemara says. The Gemara says, therefore, because there's a mitzvah of longevity, it doesn't make sense, ultimately, again, that a woman would be exempt from that mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Vahari Sukkah. So far now what we have over here is that Tefillin really serves as the source for a woman's exemption from mitzvos asei shazman grama. And just the notion of the drasha is, it's the morning, Mr. Shumfo. Because, he snuck in here. Because again, Tefillin is juxtaposed to Talmud Torah in first paragraph and second paragraph of Shema. Therefore, just as a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, she's exempt from Tefillin. What's the unique aspect of Tefillin? That it's a mitzvah shazman grama. So it says, the Gemara Bahari Sukkah, the mitzvah shazman grama, the siba sukkah, teshu shivas yamim. Now, the Gemara asks an interesting question. Well, let's take Sukkah for just a moment. So remember, Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah. Therefore, again, based on what we learned, what should be the halacha, what should be a woman's obligation in Sukkah? She should be exempt, because it's a time-bound mitzvah. Yet, interestingly enough, the pasuk says, Basuko Seicho Shivas Yamim, fine. Taima de Kasav Rachmana Ha Ezrach Lahotzi Es Hanashim. So we'll say, so the Gemara Darshan is in Mesech HaSukkah that a woman is exempt from Sukkah because the Pasuk says, Basuko Seicho Shivas Yamim Kol Ha Ezrach Yeshubas Yisrael Yeshubas Sukkos. So the Gemara Darshan is from the Lashon of Ha Ezrach, the extra hay, comes to exclude women from, or exempt women from, this particular mitzvah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Time of the Kasev Rachmana Ha'ezrach, lo tzies anashim. Ha'lov hachi, nashim chayavos. So mostly we have a problem. Why? Why does the Gemara need a drasha of Ha'ezrach to go ahead and exempt women from Sukkah? What should be the halacha? Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah. It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And therefore what? And therefore, by definition, a woman should be exempt. Why do I need a drasha? So what's the problem with this is, it sounds like that without the drasha, or be the halacha, a woman would be obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah. But that's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. So that goes against what we just said. To which the Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi, it's Rabbi says, no, I'll tell you why we need the drasha. I would have thought, Howil dichsev basukos teshvu. So since it says by Sukkah, you're supposed to dwell in it, and we learn from that teshvu came to duru that you're supposed to dwell in the Sukkah the same way you dwell in your home. And I would have said madira ish veishto, just like in a normal dwelling, it's a man together with his wife. Af Sukkah ish veishto, so too again a Sukkah is a man and his wife as well. And therefore again I would have thought that therefore by Sukkah a woman would be chayev. So what the Gemara essentially answers is, you're right. We're not sharing what we said before. A woman is exempt from time by mitzvos. Sukkah is unique. Because the mitzvah of sukkah is to replicate the way you live in your home. Since the way you live in your home, it's men and women together, so I would have thought, again, women would be chayavos in sukkah. Therefore, the Torah needs an extra drasha of ha-ezrach to teach me that a woman is still exempt from sukkah. The Rava Amar, Rava says, it's terech. There's another reason why you need the drasha of ha-ezrach to exempt women from sukkah. Sakadai tchamina, Nelev Chamisha Asar Chamisha Asar Mechag HaMatzos. Oh, there's another reason why I need an additional drasha to exempt women from Sukkah. Why? Because I would have thought that there's a Gezer Shava. We call this the famous Gezer Shava. Perhaps the most famous Gezer Shava that exists. Right? The Gezer Shava of Tesvav Tesvav, which links the first night of Pesach with the first night of Sukkah. So I would have thought the following. And most of the, there are many halachos that come out of that. I might have thought the following. I would have thought the following. There's a gzir shavav, tesvav, tesvav. And remember again, just like, what did we say before? A woman is chayaves in matzah on the first night of Pesach. So I would have thought that the same way that a woman is chayaves for matzah on the first night of Pesach, she was a chayaves in sukkah, the first night of sukkah. Therefore the Torah needs a special drasha of ha-ezrach to teach me that what? That a woman is in fact exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, even on the first night. Just as Shavuot said, that gzeirah shava, for our halachic purpose, what that gzeirah shava does for us is, it tells us that just as on the first night of Pesach, you can't eat matzah until after nightfall, on the first night of Sukkot, you also can't make kiddush in the sukkah until after nightfall. It also teaches us that just as the mitzvah of matzah is doraisa, so too eating in the sukkah is doraisa. That's why, again, even on the first night, Even if it's raining, we still make kiddush in the sukkah. We still eat hamotzi in the sukkah. That's tesvav, tesvav. Some actually have the interesting, the halacha actually brings down, according to some, that there's a minhag actually to eat a kezayis of matzah in the sukkah as well, based on that gzir shavav tesvav. It's not halacha, but based on that gzir shavav tesvav, tesvav. Okay, in any event, we'll say, so we're back on track, meaning we're still good. So we're solid right now in establishing our principle still holds true, that a woman is exempt from time-bound mitzvahs based on the limud of sukkah. Fine. So the Gemara says, Vahari Re'iya, the mitzvahs aseh shazman gramah. So what? Okay, so now we're gonna try to challenge it again. So we'll say, Re'iya, what's the mitzvah of Re'iya? Pasuk says, Rashi says, second line, mitzvahs aseh yiro'a kol zechurcha. So we'll say, so the halacha is, this is the mitzvah of Re'iya. It's coming up in Miritz Hashem. It's, in fact, again, according to many, this mitzvah of Re'iyah still applies even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, a mitzvah to go ahead and go up to Yerushalayim during the Regalim. During the Regalim. So what happens? So what about the mitzvah of Re'iyah? Now, the mitzvah of Re'iyah, remember, is a time-bound mitzvah, which makes sense, because you only have the obligation to go ahead and go to Yerushalayim when? During the Regalim. So it's a mitzvah shazman grama, yet what? Vahari Re'iyah, the mitzvah say shazman grama. So therefore, off the bat, I would assume that what? That a woman is exempt because it's a time-bound mitzvah. Yet, interestingly enough, the time of the kosev rachmana zechurcha. Yet the Gemara darshins, why is a woman exempt from Re'iyah? Because the pasuk says, Yira'a kol zechurcha. Zechurcha means what? Your men, the males. So the reason a woman doesn't have to go is because the pasuk says the males. Ha lav hachi, were it not for that phrase of zechurcha, chayavos, women would be obligated. So we'll say, you hear the kasha? It's a bam kasha. So what's going on over here? You just told me before that a woman is exempt from all time by mitzvos. The Torah doesn't have to say anything about Re'iyah, and I would have assumed that what? That Roman will be exempt. Why? Because it's time bound. Yet, the Torah feels compelled to add in the phrase Zechurcha. It's only the men who are obligated, not the women, which seems to indicate to us that in the absence of that word Zechurcha, I would have thought that a woman would be obligated in Aliyah L'Regel. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, Itzrich. Ah, I'll tell you why. You need the drasha, and I'll tell you why. Because without the drasha, there's a good reason why you would have thought that a woman would be chayaves in Re'iyah, and I'll tell you why. Sagadait chamino, neilif Re'iyah, Re'iyah, mehakel. Because I would have thought that you could make a gzirushava of Re'iyah, Re'iyah from hakel. Now, let's remember, we already said on Amud Aleph, that's halacha by hakel. A woman is obligated to come for hakel, right? Everyone is obligated to come for hakel. So I would have thought make a gzir shav of re'ia to hakel and say just like Roman is obligated in hakel, so to what? She's obligated in re'ia's p'nei abayis to come to Yerushalayim to see the Beis HaMikdash on the regalim as well. Therefore the Torah needs a specific drasha of what? Of zechurcha to teach me that a woman is exempt from aliyah l'rega, from re'ia. So it says the Gemara, v'ad yach binon. So fine. So far we feel like we have sufficiently defended the challenges. So now the Gemara asks, v'ad yach binon mitfilin lepotra, or lepatura, nelef misimcha lechiyuva. Oh, this is very interesting. So now the Gemara says, what you've told me is that we learn out the concept that a woman is exempt from time-bound mitzvos from tefillin. From tefillin. Tefillin is the paradigm. Just as a woman is exempt from tefillin and tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, so too women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvos. But instead of using tefillin to create the paradigm for exemption, why don't you use simcha to create the paradigm for obligation? And why don't you say, just as a woman is obligated in simcha, remember, again, I'll say that's the mitzvah of b'samachta b'chagecha, to rejoice on Yom Tov, and that is a time-bound mitzvah, just as a woman is obligated in time-bound mitzvah of simcha, so too she's obligated in all time-bound mitzvos. To which the Gemara says, Amra Abaye, Isha Baila b'samcha. This is a fascinating, fascinating answer, and an incredible mussar. Abaye says, the mitzvah of simcha is not on the woman. The mitzvah of simcha is on her husband. I have an obligation. When we say that my wife is obligated in simcha, what that means is I have an obligation to make my wife happy. I have an obligation. Now, the truth is, the technical obligation applies on Yom Tov, right? The actual obligation applies every single day. But it's an incredible, incredible mussar that she's obligated in the parsha of simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, but I, the husband, have the obligation to make sure that that actually occurs. Look at Rashi, b'ayla m'samcha, ein chovas ha-simcha tuluya ba. This is amazing. The mitzvah of simcha is not dependent on her, ella al baila. It's on her husband, she yismichena. He has to make her happy. Kari bay, because it was the Gemara Darshins, that we don't read it as v'samachta, ella v'simachta. V'simachta means what? Not that you shall address, but rather you shall make others happy. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, you can't use simcha as a paradigm for mitzvahs asei shazman grama to obligate the woman. Why? Because although she's in the parsha of simcha, the obligation to be happy is actually not upon her. The obligation is actually upon her husband. So the Gemara says, that's fine, but amana ma'ikal meimar. So what do you do about an amana? Right? What about a widow? So we'll say, meaning, in other words, that's fine if a woman is married. What about a woman who's not married, right? An amana or someone else who doesn't have a husband. Then what about the mitzvah of simcha? To which the Gemara says is amazing, b'shiruya etzlo. The mitzvah of simcha always devolves upon the closest man. Look at Rashi, b'shiruya etzlo, lo nitztavisi, Ella Barniya Hakasu Medarev, and it's Tava Misha Hayat Mishi Shruya Etzlo Vesamcho Mishalo B'Machom Mishle Kubishos. So you know what happens with the Amana? And Amana, the obligation is upon the nearest man. In other words, that's why the pasuk says that you have to take care of the Amana. You have to take care. In other words, that if I know that there's an Amana, I have an obligation to make sure that she's Besimcho over Yom Tov. So again, the difference is that with a wife, the mitzvah of simcha devolves upon a specific man. That specific man is her husband. For the amana, the obligation is upon men to go ahead and bring about this incredible yisod. Incredible yisod. We'll say, so it's a very important yisod in terms of, you know, this just as an aside, very often when it comes to Yom Tov, we become very focused on our own needs and on our own households. Especially a Yom Tov like Pesach, where again is a very, very intense and with a lot of preparations. So a person either preparing their home or a person's preparing their travel arrangements. Well, say it's very important to remember that while we're off wherever we go, whether you go somewhere or whether you're home and join with your family, you know, there's a whole community out there of people who are brokenhearted and who have nothing. And I have an obligation to make sure that they are taken care of for Yom Tov. That's the concept of Moschitim. Moschitim means I'm going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars for Yom Tov. And people spend tens of thousands of dollars for Yom Tov. That's wonderful. If you have it, great, enjoy it. But make sure that as much as you're spending on yourself, make sure at least you're spending some significant fraction of that to bring simcha to the rest of the community as well. An incredible yisod. And it's not just like a nice thing. That's v'simachta. That's the obligation that I have to make sure that everyone in my midst experiences simchas yom tov. an incredible yisod. So therefore, even the almana, the obligation of simcha is not on her. The obligation of simcha is upon the people around her. Incredible yisod. So says the Gemara, fine. Benelef mehakel. So again, why don't you learn from Hakel? So Hakel is another example of what Rabbi say. A mitzvah asay shalo hazman grama. Excuse me. I'm sorry. A mitzvah say shazman grama, time bound mitzvah. But yet what? Women are obligated. So why don't I use that as the paradigm? In other words, we used tefillin as the paradigm to say that any time bound mitzvah woman is exempt. The Gemara says, I'll reverse it. A woman is obligated in Hakel, as we established. Why don't you go ahead and use Hakel as the paradigm and say what? That women are obligated in time-bound mitzvos. To which the Gemara says, Mishum dahava matzah v'hakel shnei ksuvin abayin kechad. So we've spoken about this before. There's a concept of shnei ksuvin abayin kechad. Shnei ksuvin abayin kechad means when the Torah teaches the same principle in two different places, that means that you can't, or say, when the Torah teaches the same concept in two different places, that teaches us that you cannot create a paradigm. In other words, when the Torah says something once, so you can create a paradigm. When it says it twice, it means that there's no paradigm. Rather, the concept or principle is limited to those two specific situations. So what the Gemara wants to suggest is the following. That Hakel and Matzah are shnei ksuvin abayin kechad. What are Hakel and Matzah? Hakel and Matzah are two examples of two time-bound commandments where a woman is obligated. So those are the two cases of time-bound commandments where a woman is obligated. Therefore, I'll say that a shnei ksuvin abayin kechad, it's two instances that express the same rule, namely that a woman is obligated in time-bound mitzvah, and therefore, again, what? Because of shnei ksuvin abayin kechad, you can't create a paradigm from it. We spoke about this principle before. The idea is that when the Torah says something, the expression of a concept once, it was often we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was expressing a paradigm. When God expresses the same concept multiple times, two or more times, that means He's coming to limit the application of that principle to the specifically enumerated circumstances, but does not want us to create the paradigm. Therefore, Matzah and Hakel are shnei ksuvin abayin kechad, two examples of time-bound commandments for which a woman is obligated. The fact that those occurrences occur, the fact that those principles occur twice, tells us that the application limits to those two circumstances and not to create a paradigm. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, if that's the case, I can say the opposite. Tefillin uriya nami shnei ksuvin abayin kechad. Then why don't we say that tefillin, which remember is a time-bound mitzvah from which a woman is exempt, and ri'iyah, the obligation to ascend to Yerushalayim to see the Beis Hamikdash, are also shnei ksuvin abayin kechad. Both say those are two examples of what? Remember, the Torah is stating the same thing twice, namely, that a woman is exempt from a time-bound mitzvah. So why don't they say here, Torah is stating the same principle twice, therefore what? You can't create a paradigm. To which the Gemara says, no, shnei ksuvin abayin kechad, ve'im lamdin. Tzvichi, here's the difference. You need the Torah to state both tefillin as well as re'iyah. Why? Kasev Rachmana Tefillin Velo Kasev Re'iyah. Because if the Torah just spoke about a woman's exemption from Tefillin, but did not speak about a woman's exemption from Re'iyah, from coming to the Beis HaMikdash, for on the regalim, hava amina ne'elef re'iyah re'iyah mehakel. Because remember, as we said before, Abosai, without an explicit exemption, I would have thought that a woman would be obligated in re'iyah. Why? Because of Gzera Shava Tehakel. And had the Torah just exempted a woman from Re'iyah, but we didn't have a drasha to exempt her from Tefillin, hava amina akish Tefillin l'mezuzah. I would have thought that a woman should be obligated in Tefillin. Why? Because it's juxtaposed to Mezuzah. Therefore, Tzvicha. Therefore, also what the Gemara has just demonstrated is that the Torah needs to state both Re'iyah as well as Tefillin. Therefore, because it needs to state both, you don't apply the principle of Shnei Ksuvin Habayin Ke'echad, and therefore, again, we don't say in Malamdin, rather we say Malamdin, which another way to say is another way of just saying we don't view Tefillin and Re'iyah as the expression of a redundant principle. Therefore, because it's not a redundant principle, it doesn't create the anti-paradigm. And therefore, again, the paradigm will still be Tefillin, which serves as the paradigm for a woman's exemption of time by mitzvos. If that's the case, Matzah v'hakel namitzvichi, I could say that Matzah v'hakel are also both needed. So the Gemara says, Lamai, well, let's analyze this. Lamai tzvichi, why do you need to state both of them? So bishlami ikasav rachmona hakel, v'lo kasav matzah, had the Torah just written hakel, in other words, that a woman is obligated in hakel, despite the fact that it's a time by mitzvah, and the Torah would not have written matzah, hava amila, I would have thought, nilev chamisha asa mechagasukos, I would have thought that we should learn out the Gzereshav of Tesva from Sukkah and teach you that just as a woman is exempt from Sukkah, so too she is exempt from Matzah. Ela nichtov rachmona matzah lo by hakel. But maybe you would say, let the Torah state the obligation by matzah. The woman is obligated in matzah, and I would have been able to learn out from there that she should be obligated in hakel. That wouldn't work. Why? Va'ana amina tfelim chayavim nashim lakol shekin. And I could have said that what if children are obligated in hakel? Certainly, it goes without saying that women should be obligated. Hilchach. Therefore, Rabbi, essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is you didn't really need the Torah to state that a woman should be obligated in Hakel. You didn't need to state it. Why? Because once you state that men and children are obligated, it's obvious that what? It's obvious that the women are obligated also. Meaning, there's no such mitzvah that men are going to be obligated, women are going to be obligated, and women are not obligated. So the Torah could have just remained silent on Hakel, and I would have known that a woman is obligated. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to teach me that a woman is obligated in Hakel is now what? Is now the Torah expressing the same principle twice. Expressed it once by Matzah, a second time by Hakel, to teach me that what? That in these instances of time-bound mitzvos, a woman is obligated, and because the Torah is stating the same principle twice, especially in the situation of Hakel, where it did not need to be explicitly stated, I could have learned it out, it's coming to teach me what? It's Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad. Torah is purposely being redundant for the purpose of telling me that these two principles, or these two examples, are stand-alone examples, and are not here to create a principle. Therefore, again, you can't create a principle that women should be obligated in time-bound commandments. So the Gemara goes weiter. So this is all fine and good, according to the opinion who says, though the Torah states a principle twice, it's not good to tell you that the principle only applies in these specific circumstances, but not to create a paradigm. But according to the opinion who says that you can learn out from these, even from a redundancy, what is there to say? Furthermore, mitzas ase shelo azman gramana shel chayavas minala. Furthermore, I will say, the Gemara asks an opposite question. We've spent all of this time trying to figure out, how do I know that a woman is exempt from a time-bound mitzvah? Let me ask you a different question. How do I know that a woman is exempt, that a woman is obligated in a mitzas ase shelo azman grama? Right? How do I know that a woman is obligated in non-time-bound mitzvahs? To which the Gemara says, d'yalef mimor. So the Gemara chooses to answer that question first. We learn that out from Mora. We'll say, what's Mora? Ish imo va'aviv tiro. A man shall fear his mother and father. So remember, we dashed this earlier. The lashon of tiro is plural. Plural. The Gemara understands that to mean that it's not just the man who's obligated in reverence of his parents, but it's a woman as well. Ma Mora nashim chayavos. Just like when it comes to reverence, women are obligated. And we'll say, so what's unique about Mora? It's not time-bound. I'm obligated to revere my parents at any time. Af kol mitzos asay shelo hazman grama nashim chayavos. So Mora becomes the paradigm. Just like a woman is obligated to revere her parents, so too again she's obligated in all non-time bound mitzvahs. So it's interesting. Well, let's read another line. B'nei lif mitamut Torah. So why don't you go ahead and learn this out from Talmud Torah? Mishum dahavile Talmud Torah upiriyav arivya shnei ksuvin abayin ke'echad uchol shnei ksuvin abayin ke'echad in malamdin. Because Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. So why don't you learn out from Talmud Torah? Remember again, when I always learn from Talmud Torah, I would say just as a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, which is a mitzvah asay shelo hazman grama, non-time-bound mitzvah, and yet a woman is exempt, so to what? A woman should be exempt from all non-time-bound mitzvahs, to which the Gemara says, because Talmud Torah and period of arivia and procreation are shtei ksuvin abayin ke'echad. They're both examples of non-time-bound mitzvahs, where what? Where a woman is exempt. And because the Torah states this principle twice, therefore, again, it does not create a paradigm, and therefore you can't learn out. So this says, the Imar, top of Lamed Hei, Ul Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Adom HaShnein, who Omer, Vayivarech Osan Lekim, Peru Uravu, Ma'ikal Neymar. So we'll see, here's what's interesting. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, there is a mitzvah, the mitzvah period of arivia, applies to women as well. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch is of the opinion that women are obligated in period of arivia. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, so what do you do? So the Gemara says, Michael and Neymar, Mishum Dahavat Talmud Torah Pigyon Aben, Shnek Suvan Abayin Ke'echad, V'chol Shnek Suvan Abayin Ke'echad in Malamnin. Because I'll say, ultimately, we will say that Talmud Torah and Pigyon Aben, learning Torah and redemption of the firstborn son, are both examples of what? Of non-time-bound mitzvos, where women are exempt, and therefore it will say, Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad, and if Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad, Ein Melamdin. We can't learn out of principle. So we'll say, so we'll stop over here for today, but so far what comes out from this last discussion is, here's what I want you to end off with. I want you to end off with what comes out from today's daf, and this is a fascinating sugya. What comes out from today's daf is the following. We've learned now the source, ultimately again, the source for a woman's exemption from time-bound mitzvos is tefillin. So we learn now, first of all, and that drasha is a two-step drasha. Step number one is, since tefillin is juxtaposed to Talmud Torah, we say that just as woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, v'limadatem osam es b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem, just as a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, so too she's exempt from tefillin. What's unique about tefillin that a woman should be exempt from it? And the answer is, it's time-bound. It's a mitzvah shazman grama. Therefore, we create a paradigm that says that a woman is exempt from all mitzvos asei shazman grama. Step number two, but how do I know that a woman is obligated in all non-time-bound mitzvos? To which the Gemara says, that we learn out from Mora. Since a woman is obligated in Mora, in revering her parents, so, and what's unique about that mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah say shalo azman gram, it's a non-time-bound mitzvah, therefore what? Therefore a woman will be obligated in all non-time-bound mitzvahs. But yet, what you clearly do see is that what? There are exceptions. There are exceptions. There are some time-bound mitzvahs that a woman will be chayaves in, like matzah, like hakel, and there will be certain non-time-bound mitzvos that a woman will be exempt from, like Piri of Arivia, and like Talmud Torah. So we'll see, Mirat Hashem, we'll pick up with this sugya, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow. Can't be mechayiv someone in Zakat.